Register Radio is sponsored by Ignatius Press, the premier publisher of outstanding Catholic books, magazines, videos, and music, faithful to the magisterium of the Church. On the web at ignatius.com.
From the National Catholic Register, this is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
This week on Register Radio, Tim Drake talks with Deacon Claude Lester. He is Director of Faith Formation at St. Mary's Catholic Church in the Diocese of Rochester. They're going to talk about the Fortnight for Freedom. Dioceses and parishes around the country are hosting events highlighting religious liberty beginning on June 21st. Deacon Lester is heading up a task force which is hosting a festival for freedom. We're going to find out all about that. In our second half, EWTN's Elena Rodriguez talks with Astrid Bennett Gutierrez about Planned Parenthood opening up a clinic inside of a high school, a public high school in Los Angeles. Welcome again to Register Radio. It's a co-production of EWTN and the National Catholic Register. I'm Tom Price, along with Tim Drake, senior writer for the Register. Hello, Tim.
Hello, Tom. It's good to be with you.
And with you, my friend. You know, I think the Fortnight for Freedom is really starting to take off as we get closer to the launch date this coming week.
It really is. Dioceses and parishes across the country are gearing up for the Fortnight for Freedom, which actually begins on June 21st and ends on the 4th of July. In recognition of our rights to religious liberty, there are special masses, processions, parades, speakers, and other events taking place during the 14-day period. And the Notre Dame Retreat House in Canandaigua, New York, is celebrating the fortnight in a big way. Deacon Claude Lester is chairing the task force planning for the Fortnight for Freedom. And Deacon Claude is joining us on Register Radio to talk about the fortnight in general and what sorts of activities they have planned up in Canandaigua, New York. Thanks for being with us, Deacon Claude.
Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
So first of all, what inspired you and the task force to take part in the fortnight? And maybe you could explain what it is.
Absolutely. We have had an ecumenical group who has been very concerned of religious freedoms being eroded. We participated in the March 23rd Stand Up for Religious Freedom gathering. We had over 500 people. We took a very different approach than what most of the country had done. We did not call it a rally or a demonstration or a protest. We called ours Renewing Our Legacy. And we had a silent march from church grounds to the county courthouse in which people had the chance to not only walk in silence, but bring objects that reminded them of their religious freedom. Some people brought crosses, some people brought rosaries, some people brought their menorah, all sorts of wonderful displays, religious pictures, that all in that silence spoke the huge volume of commitment. But this is nonpartisan. This is not a political activity. This is very much a statement of religious freedom. So what we had invited people to do was to bring signs from our church fathers and our founding fathers of this country, who talked about the importance and the necessity and the imperative of religious freedom, conscience, and we made a display on the lawn. Usually March in upstate New York is filled with snow drifts. We had nothing but green grass and 75-degree weather, so it was ideal to showcase all of that signage. That was really, that's the legacy that we come with, and so we felt that we couldn't say it any more profoundly. We would simply be redundant to use our own words. Of course, as the group continued to meet and the bishops issued the religious freedom document on April 12th, that gave us incentive, and so we began to say, well, we knew what a fortnight was, how many days it was, and we said, well, this sounds like a great challenge. How do we put something like this together that would be a meaningful expression to people of all faiths of what our country is founded on? And so that really gave us the creativity to frame a wonderful program for 2 weeks with keynote speakers every day, with drama groups, all sorts of exciting things happening that are all going to be expressions of our religious freedom.
This just is not only a concern for Catholics, that it's up in upstate New York and elsewhere around the country, that this really is an ecumenical movement, and this fortnight is something that could be participated in by people of all faiths.
Absolutely. Thank God that our American bishops have taken the leadership role in urging us to stand up for what this country really was founded on. And, of course, that is a principle that is much more universal than any one religious denomination. So the support that we have gained from other congregants of other churches have just been reinforcing. Wonderful. We have forged new friendships that we would never have realized, even in a small, very rural area. We don't know everyone. And so this has brought us a whole sense of another level of unity that was needed and that we're building on.
I want to highlight that the fortnight is kicking off with a special mass at Baltimore's Basilica of the National Shrine of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary on June 21st at 7 p.m., and then the fortnight is ending with a special mass on the 4th of July at 12:10 p.m. in Washington, D.C. at the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception. Both of those masses will be televised on EWTN. Do you have special masses that are being celebrated in upstate New York as part of the fortnight as well?
In this diocese, all of our efforts are really being focused at the retreat house in Canandaigua. We will be having daily mass, and we will be having daily adoration. So we've been putting the main part of our energy in the context of prayer and our tradition in the whole education, the catechetical piece that the bishop so strongly urged for. That's why we've taken the approach we have to bring in so many top-notch speakers to give us perspectives that we locally don't possess.
Yeah, we should highlight the website for the Festival for Freedom we're talking about, which is festivalforfreedom.com. It is quite impressive. You are doing more than many dioceses. You've got different top-notch speakers almost every day of the fortnight.
Yes, we do. We have people like Dr. Pia DiSaleni, who's coming in on the opening day to do the first keynote, and she, of course, comes from the West Coast. She is stopping in Rochester for this engagement on her way to be a keynote at a conference in Rome, Italy. She brings that international perspective, really. We have people like Ann Hendershot, who's at King's College in New York City, who's going to be talking on the common good, the key Catholic principle that relates to what we are really trying to find in the foundations of this country and living it out. We have Kathy Gallagher, who's coming to speak on faithful citizenship. Kathy is from the New York State Catholic Conference in Albany. We also have a very interesting day-long seminar on the Constitution. We've located the National Center for Constitutional Studies in Idaho. As a matter of fact, I was just talking to the gentleman who's coming out earlier today. And he goes around the country speaking specifically on the Constitution. And we will go through an educational process to learn the roots not only of freedom, not only in the founding fathers of our country, but how it comes out of other ethnic and cultural groups over a much longer period than the several hundred years of our country. So we have people who bring all those wonderful dimensions. We also have Kim Daniels, who is coming from Catholic Voices USA, to speak on a book that is just on the market over just a couple months now, and it's called How to Defend the Faith Without Raising Your Voice. And it's a wonderful approach to taking the issues of the day and reframing them so it does not seem that we're having oppositional conversation, but that we are finding the common ground and working from there. So all of these are very different approaches.
Yeah. I want to remind listeners that you're listening to Register Radio, and we are speaking with Deacon Claude Lester about the Fortnight for Freedom and the activities being held in upstate New York. I wanted to ask, you know, a lot of critics of the Fortnight for Freedom are saying that these activities are somehow being partisan, and I want to give you an opportunity to kind of react to that, because that really isn't the case, is it?
It's not at all. We have so clearly and intentionally looked at this not as a political issue. If there's politics involved, it's in the sense of allegiance to our God and the freedoms that our God has given us through his own creative power, and that this country has been a place where that freedom has been lived out so fully. And we're always challenged to keep freedom as that fullness, that pure expression. That certainly is what the Founding Fathers were working on. That's why they put together the Constitution and the Declaration and continued to create amendments to clarify exactly what that means in this country. Not a state church, but a freedom to practice whatever religion people desire.
Very good. We only have about a minute left, Deacon Claude, and I wanted just to say, if there are other parishes around the country that want to emulate your plans in some way, what recommendations would you have for them?
Don't do it the way we did it. Don't, I mean, by all means, look at our brochure, look at the approach, and get ideas. The creativity that we've been able to lend to this, the second Saturday we're taking, and the whole day is devoted to what's so special about being a kid in America today. So we're doing everything from workshops for families and individuals. How do you develop a framework for conscience formation and moral decision in our making in our world? We have a whole bevy of local artists who are coming to share with both children and adults. How do you artistically express yourself, your notions of freedom, all sorts of kinds of things. And we are doing the Upstate New York, the premiere showing of For Greater Glory, which has a very limited market. So it's happening in Buffalo and Albany, which are kind of the two bookends of New York State, but the couple hundred miles in between where we are has no showing. So we've been able to work out with Maximus Group three viewings of that. And Lisa Wheeler, who's the co-founder of Maximus Group and the managing director of that film, is coming to introduce each of the showings and to do some Q&A afterwards. So that's an exciting dimension, too.
Well, very good. Deacon Claude, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Register Radio, and we wish you well with the Fortnight for Freedom.
Thank you so much. Our prayers are united with the rest of the country as we go forward. These 14 days will be most exciting. Thank you.
Thank you, Deacon Claude. And when we return, Elena Rodriguez and Astrid Bennett Gutierrez are here. They'll be talking about Planned Parenthood, which seems to have started up their own Occupy movement. This is Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Stay with us.
Hello, I'm Michael Warsaw, Chief Executive of EWTN and publisher of the National Catholic Register. We're in a time in history like no other. In our fight for religious freedom and the need for the new evangelization, it's essential to stay connected via the faithful Catholic content delivered by the Register. We've finally been able to help realize Mother Angelica's dream. She always wanted a newspaper as part of EWTN's media apostolate. Why? Because there's an important catechetical opportunity at the intersection of faith and culture. Since the 1920s, the Register has been advancing the truth of the Magisterium. This valuable resource will help you to better understand the faith and deepen your relationship with our Lord. Join the growing ranks of Register subscribers today and access the one source of leading voices and opinions concerning the issues that matter most to you.
To start your subscription to the National Catholic Register today, go to EWTN.com and click on the banner for the Register or call 800-854-6316. That's EWTN.com and click on the Register subscription banner or call 800-854-6316.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
And welcome back. Along with Tim Drake, I'm Tom Price. And Elena Rodriguez is with us right now to shed some light on this breaking story regarding Planned Parenthood opening up a branch office inside of a public high school. What's that all about, Elena?
Yes, Tom, this is actually happening for the first time in history, but might be the first of many. As you said, it seems to be Planned Parenthood is trying to start their own Occupy movement. Planned Parenthood opened up a health clinic inside a high school, a public high school, on campus. This is in Los Angeles at Roosevelt High School in the Boyle Heights area. You see, this is a joint project between Planned Parenthood and the Los Angeles Unified School District to reduce the number of unplanned pregnancies, as they call it, at low-income neighborhoods where Latinos live. And this is the only project of its kind so far. Now, the health clinic, separate from the school's nurse's office, by the way, serves as primary care clinic. It provides physicals and immunizations. But the primary purpose of this Planned Parenthood clinic at Roosevelt High School is to offer birth control, pregnancy tests, and screening for sexually transmitted diseases. The quote-unquote services are free and confidential. We have asked Astrid Bennett Gutierrez to join us in this conversation. She is the executive director of Los Angeles Pregnancy Services. She also works with the Archdiocese of Los Angeles as president of Hispanics for Life to educate the Hispanic community in pro-life issues. For 13 years, she has been working in crisis pregnancy counseling, specifically in Hispanic areas in Los Angeles. Astrid, thank you very much for joining us on Register Radio.
It's my pleasure. Thank you, Elena.
Now, this clinic is the first of its kind because it is an on-campus clinic. And I know you have been following the events very closely. It opened roughly around mid-May, is that correct?
We found out about it in May. But this school has a Planned Parenthood affiliate very close by. So referrals for abortion and contraception have been happening before. Now, the fact that a Planned Parenthood rep is inside the school is something new. It isn't shocking for us who have been watching closely how much Planned Parenthood directly targets Hispanics. And those of us living in California, we know that our young people, girls as young as 13 and 14, can get abortions and contraceptives without their parents knowing. Planned Parenthood does go after Hispanic and minority communities. In this case, they're seeing that there is a high pregnancy rate. Latino youth are more likely, it seems, to choose life. That's why it seems like they have a higher pregnancy rate, when in reality they have a higher birth rate. They're choosing life for their baby. So here comes Planned Parenthood to the rescue. Now, I don't know if the fact that they are reducing teen pregnancies has to do with the fact that they are preventing them. It might be that they're actually giving these girls abortions because they're more than happy to do so. We know from the testimonies of people like Abby Johnson that Planned Parenthood is out to perform abortions. That's where the money is. And I think that parents, for the most part, do not know what's going on, Elena. We have a Bible verse that we believe in Hispanics for Life, Hosea 4:6, my people perish for lack of knowledge. This is a clear example of where parents might not know what's going on. They are believing what Planned Parenthood says, that they're about prevention, when in reality their young girls are headed for an abortion and they're being given contraceptives like the Depo-Provera shot that can be carcinogenic, cancer-causing, and they have no idea what's going on, I think.
So, Astrid, how does this area around Roosevelt High School compare to the neighborhood where Los Angeles Pregnancy Service is located?
Our neighborhood in particular, which is just a few miles away, has 9 abortion centers, Elena. We're in a Hispanic area. Roosevelt is in a Hispanic area. But we have 9 abortion clinics here because of the low-income minority population, which is exactly what the abortion industry wants. It's a target-rich environment where they can easily convince people to get abortions. Medi-Cal, which is our Medicaid here in California, pays for unlimited abortions, even from undocumented people. Mm-hmm. So they're making a lot of money where Hispanics, low-income people live, and especially in our communities that are so vulnerable, number one, because of their circumstances, and number two, because of lack of education. They do not know what abortion is, what contraceptions can do to their health. Many of these contraceptives, especially the hormonal ones like the pill, Depo, the IUD, can be abortifacients. So they're really preying on our community, we believe. So at Hispanics for Life and at our pregnancy center, we take a very proactive educational approach. One of the most powerful tools we have used is a video that shows the baby and what happens to it when it is aborted. And Hispanic people are very open to seeing that. We have a saying in Spanish, pretty much translated, it means, if the eye is not allowed to view, the heart is not allowed to feel. And that's exactly what happens when we explain to them the ramifications of an abortion, what consequences it has.
So there is a great value to being able to show this graphically. This is your baby.
This is your baby. This is your child. This is maybe for parents that are thinking that an abortion is good for their daughter, this is your grandchild. And we have seen dramatic conversions, Elena, at our pregnancy center, because we have parents coming in here, Hispanic parents, inquiring about abortion, because in this country, abortion has a context possibly of being modern, being with the times, because it's legal here. And they're being told by people like Planned Parenthood that a baby will ruin the life of their daughter, when we know that a baby is a blessing. So if we can just teach them the truth and show them with a very, very graphic video, the vast majority, I should say, of the people that watch it, choose life for their child, support their daughter in having the baby and contemplating adoption or parenting. We do not enjoy the support that Planned Parenthood enjoys, thanks to the Obama administration and the powers that be here in California. And obviously another challenge with Hispanics is also the voting trends. We do not put life as a priority because we're so influenced by the media, and the media is owned by people that do not agree with our values. I don't think many of them are receiving that message, unfortunately.
And the truth will set you free.
Amen.
You're listening to Register Radio. This is Elena Rodriguez, and we're talking with Astrid Bennett Gutierrez about Planned Parenthood's first clinic ever on a high school campus. And Astrid, I want to come back to a very important point that you brought up a few minutes ago. The Los Angeles Times reported June 5th that nurse practitioner Sherry Medrano, who runs the Roosevelt Health Clinic at the high school, a public high school, said that by law, students can go to her, to Sherry and her staff, without the permission of their parents.
Actually, Elena, that is the law in California. Girls as young as 13 and 14 can get an abortion during school hours, assisted by the school nurse, or in this case, Planned Parenthood themselves, to get an abortion and to get contraceptives. We're seeing the states are usurping the role of the parents. The parents should be the primary educators. But in this case, Planned Parenthood is telling the youth, come to us when you have a question about sexuality, and if you get in trouble, quote-unquote, we'll take care of you. You don't have to tell your parents. You don't have to burden them with what's going on. Elena, and also the kids, of course, are not being told what consequences abortion can have for them. And of course, emotionally and physically, abortion is devastating for a young person. The worst thing that can happen to them is not a pregnancy. It is an abortion that can hurt them the rest of their lives. And contraceptives are so dangerous. We just saw the news piece, that new study from the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center, that Depo-Provera, the contraceptive injection, increases breast cancer risk. We are seeing that these young girls are putting their health and their life sometimes in danger, and the parents have no idea. And we have heard stories of parents that have come out publicly, like, for example, Diana Lopez from San Diego. Her 12-year-old daughter was at school, and all of a sudden she gets a call that she's very, very critically ill in a clinic. Diana Lopez is alarmed. What's going on? My daughter's at school. No, your daughter is having an abortion, but her life is in danger. We need you to come out. So at that point, then they do involve the parents when there's a complication, and then the parents have to take it from there. Really outrageous, Elena. A lot of parents do not know what is going on. Planned Parenthood is right now under investigation for covering up sexual abuse of minors, sex traffickers. I mean, over a third of their income is from abortions. They perform over 300,000 abortions a year.
And also, to pick up on what you're saying, Planned Parenthood is training Roosevelt High School students in L.A. as peer advocates to talk to their classmates about sexually transmitted diseases and pregnancy prevention. That's the term they use. We would have to say pregnancy elimination to be scientifically correct. But anyways, you could conclude from this evidence that Planned Parenthood is in some sort of a race to recruit the younger generation.
Well, the news piece that I first read in May from the LA Times interviewed a young man, 15 years old, who said that he was recruited and he was indoctrinated with what Planned Parenthood thinks about sexuality, and going out to his peers, inviting them to come to the Planned Parenthood Health Center to get contraceptives, and essentially promoting promiscuity amongst his peers. And I see it firsthand right here at our pregnancy center, having to reach young people that wish they could have decided differently, but because they're being handed condoms in the school, pushed into a lifestyle that they later come to regret, not knowing that there was an alternative.
This is Elena Rodriguez on Register Radio, speaking with Executive Director for Los Angeles Pregnancy Services, Astrid Bennett Gutierrez. And because this already happened in one high school, Planned Parenthood opening a clinic on campus, in this case, a public high school in Los Angeles, do you see this going forward as Planned Parenthood's strategy to get embedded in other high schools across the country?
Yes, Elena. Many high schools already have some sort of relationship with their local abortion clinics, especially here in California, where young girls can get abortions without their parent knowing. The nurse can refer them to local abortion clinics. They already have a relationship with local abortion clinics like Planned Parenthood. Hmm. But if we see something like Obamacare pass in our country, Obamacare has provisions for these kind of clinics within school grounds. So if we do not vote differently this November, we can definitely see Planned Parenthood inside high schools in every state. If our president has his way, this is a new level of how he's promoting abortion. So we have to be very, very careful. We have to encourage others to vote for life this November at every level of political power. We have to vote for life, really, Elena, more than ever. Our young people are so vulnerable, so many unborn to lose their lives if we don't do something different.
And for our listeners who may want to access your counseling services at Los Angeles Pregnancy Services, where may they find you on the web?
LapsForLife.org, LapsForLife.org, and we have contacts to pregnancy centers all over the country and all over the world. So people can contact us, email us, and call us, and we're happy to connect them with local pregnancy help for them.
All right, so that again is lapsforlife.org, correct?
Yes, Los Angeles Pregnancy Services.
Very good. Astrid, thank you so much for being with us on Register Radio and for your service across the years to Hispanic families. And also thank you for sharing insights that we may not be learning from the mainstream or the secular media that should raise a flag for us. God bless you.
Thank you, Elena. God bless you.
And that was Executive Director for Los Angeles Pregnancy Services, Astrid Bennett Gutierrez, also President of Hispanics for Life with the Archdiocese of Los Angeles.
Thanks, Elena. A quick reminder that our new website is now up and running. We invite everybody to check this out, religiousliberties.org. You're going to get all the latest news about all of the assaults that we're facing and really what we can all do about it. Again, that's www.religiousliberties.org. We invite you to check that out, especially in these coming days. Thank you so much for joining us this time on Register Radio. For Elena Rodriguez, Tim Drake, and all of us at the Register and here at EWTN, I'm Tom Price. See you next week.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Register Radio is sponsored by Ignatius Press, the premier publisher of outstanding Catholic books, magazines, videos, and music, faithful to the magisterium of the Church. On the web at ignatius.com.